Titius, Leander, Vissen. The drumming goes on. The families will have collected the bodies by now. Blackcliff has no graveyard. Among these walls, all that remains of the fallen is the emptiness of where they walked, the silence where their voices rang. In the bell tower courtyard, cadets lunge and parry with staffs as a centurion circles them. I should have known the commandant wouldn't cancel classes, not even to honor the deaths of dozens of her students. The centurion nods as I pass, and I'm confused by his lack of disgust. Doesn't he know I'm a murderer? Wasn't he watching yesterday? How can you ignore it? I want to shout. How can you pretend it didn't happen? I head for the cliffs. Helene will be down in the dunes, where we have always mourned our dead. On my way there, I see Faris and Dex. Without Tristus, Demetrius, and Leander by their sides, they look bizarre, like an animal missing its legs. I think they will pass me by, or attack me for giving the order that took their souls. Instead, they stop before me, quiet, despondent. Their eyes are as red as mine. Dex massages his neck, his thumb moving in ceaseless circles over the Blackcliff tattoo. I keep seeing their faces, he says, hearing them. For long moments we stand together in silence. But it is selfish of me to share such grief, to take comfort in knowing that they feel the same self-hatred that I do. I'm the reason they are haunted. You followed orders, I say. This burden, at least, I can take. Orders I gave. Their deaths aren't on you. They're on me. Faris meets my eyes, a ghost of the big, joyful boy he had once been. They're free now, he says. Free of the Augurs, of Blackcliff. Not like us. When Dex and Faris walk away, I rappel to the desert floor, where Helene sits cross-legged in the shade of the cliffs, her feet buried to the ankles in the hot sand. Her hair ripples in the wind, glowing gold-white like the curve of a sunlit dune. I approach her as one would an angry horse. "You don't need to be so cat-footed," she says when I'm a few feet away. "I'm not armed." I sit beside her. "Are you all right?"
"I'm alive."
"I'm sorry, Helene. I know you can't forgive me, but..."
"Stop. We didn't have a choice, Elias. If I'd gotten the upper hand, I'd have done the same thing to you. I killed Cyril. I killed Silas and Lyris. I nearly killed Dex, but he backed off, and I couldn't find him again."
A silver face could be carved of marble. It's so emotionless.
"Who is this person? If we'd refused to fight," she says, "our friends would have died. What were we supposed to do?"
"I killed Demetrius." I search her face for anger. She and Demetrius grew close after his brother died. She was the only one who ever knew what to say to him.
And Leander. You did what you had to. Just as I did what I had to. Just as Faris and Dex and all the others who survived did what they had to.
I know they did what they had to do, but they followed an order I gave. An order I should have been strong enough not to give.
You'd have died, Elias.
She doesn't look at me. She's working so hard to convince herself that it's all right, that what we did was necessary.
Your men would have died.
The battle will end when you defeat or are defeated by the leader of the enemy. If I'd been willing to die first, Tristus would still be alive. Leander, Demetrius, all of them, Helene. Zack knew it. He begged Marcus to kill him. I should have done the same. You'd be named Empress,
Or the augurs would name Marcus, and I'd be his slave.
We told our men to kill.
Why doesn't she understand? Why isn't she willing to face it?
We gave the order. We followed it ourselves. It's unforgivable.
What did you think was going to happen?
Aline pushes herself to her feet, and I stand too.
Did you think the trials would get easier? Didn't you know this would come? They've made us live our deepest fears. They've thrown us at the mercy of creatures that shouldn't exist. Then they turned us against each other. Strength of arms and mind and heart. You're surprised.
You're naive is what you are.
You're a fool. Hell, you don't know what you're saying. I almost killed you. Thank the skies for it.
She's in front of me, so close that strands of her long hair blow into my face.
You fought back. After losing so many training battles, I wasn't sure you would. I was so scared. I thought you'd be dead out there.
You're sick.
I back away from her.
Don't you have any regret? Any remorse? Those were our friends we killed.
They were soldiers,
Aline says.
Empire soldiers who died in battle, who died with honor. I'll celebrate them. I'll mourn them. But I won't regret what I did. I did it for the Empire. I did it for my people.
She paces back and forth.
Don't you see, Elias? The trials are bigger than you or me, bigger than our guilt, our shame. We're the answer to a 500-year-old question. When Tyus's line fails, who will lead the Empire? Who will ride at the head of a 500,000-strong army? Who will control the destinies of 40 million souls? What about our destinies? Our souls? They took our souls a long time ago, Elias.
No, hell.
Lyra's words ring in my head. Words I want to believe. Words I need to believe.
You have a soul. Don't let them take it from you.
You're wrong. I can never fix what I did yesterday.
But when the fourth trial comes, I won't.
Don't, Elias.
Aline puts her fingers over my mouth, her anger replaced with something like despair.
Don't make vows when you can't know their cost.
I crossed a line yesterday, Aline. I won't cross it again.
Don't say that.
Her hair flies about, and her eyes are wild.
How can you become emperor if that's the way you think? How can you win the trials if...
I don't want to win the trials,
I say.
I've never wanted to win them. I didn't even want to take them.
I was going to desert, Aline, right after graduation, when everyone else would be celebrating. I was going to run. She shakes her head, holding up her hands as if to ward off my words. But I don't stop. She needs to hear this. She needs to know the truth of who I am. I didn't run because Cain told me the only chance I had to be truly free was to take the trials. I want you to win the trials, Hell. I want to be named Bloodstrike. And then I want you to set me free.
Set you free? Set you free? This is freedom, Elias. When will you understand that? We're masks. Our destiny is power and death and violence. It's what we are. If you don't own that, then how can you ever be free?
She's delusional.
I'm trying to comprehend this dreadful truth when I hear the sound of approaching footsteps. Hell hears it too, and we whirl to find Cain rounding a curve in the cliffs. A squadron of 8 legionnaires accompanies him. He says nothing of the fight Helene and I are having, though he must have heard at least part of it.
You will come with us.
The legionnaires split, four taking hold of me, and the other four grabbing Helene. "What's going on?" I try to shake them off, but they're big brutes, bigger than me, and they don't budge. "What is this?"
"This, Aspirant Vittorius, is the trial of loyalty."
Chapter 43 Liar. When I enter the Commandant's kitchen, Izzy rushes me. Her eye is shadowed, and her blonde hair is a bird's nest, as if she hasn't slept all night. "You're alive! You're here! We thought..." "Did they harm you, girl?" Cook comes up behind Izzy, and I'm shocked to see that she too is disheveled, her eyes red-rimmed. She takes my cloak, and when she sees my dress, she tells Izzy to bring me another. "Are you all right?" "I'm fine. What else can I say? I am still trying to make sense of what has just transpired. At the same time, I'm remembering what Elias said about Bekkar Prison. And one thing becomes clear. I have to get out of here and find the Resistance. I have to figure out where Darin is and what's really going on." "Where did they take you, Liar?" Izzy is back with the dress, and I change into it quickly, hiding the dagger at my thigh as best as I can. I'm reluctant to tell them what's happened, but I won't lie to them, not when it's clear that they've spent the entire night fearing for my life. "They gave me to Vittorius as a prize for winning the third trial." At the twin looks of horror on their faces, I add in a rush, "But he didn't hurt me, nothing happened." "Indeed." The Commandant's voice chills my blood. And as one, Izzy, Cook, and I turn to the kitchen door. "Nothing happened, you say?" She cocks her head. "How very interesting. Come with me." I follow her to her study, my feet leaden. Once inside, my eyes dart to the wall of dead fighters. It's like being in a room of ghosts. The Commandant closes the study door and circles me. "You spent the night with Aspirant Vittorius," she says. "Yes, sir." "Did he rape you?" So easily she asks such an abhorrent question, as if asking my age or my name. "No, sir." "Why would that be, when the other night he seemed so very interested in you? He couldn't keep his hands off you." She is, I realize, talking about the night of the Moon Festival, as if she can smell my fear. She steps toward me. I don't know. Could it be that the boy actually cares about you? I know he's aided you, the day he carried you up from the dunes, and a few nights ago with Marcus." She takes another step. "But the night I found you two in the servants' corridor, that's the night I've been wondering about. What were you doing together? Is he in league with you? Has he turned? I'm not sure what you... Did you think you could fool me? Did you think I didn't know? Oh, skies, it can't be. I have spies too, slave. Among the mariners, the tribesmen..." Now she's inches away, and her smile is like a thin garrote around my throat. "Even in the Resistance, you'd be surprised where I have eyes. Those scholar rats know only what I want them to know. What were they up to the last time you met them? Were they planning something significant? Something involving a great many men? Perhaps you're wondering what it was. You'll find out soon enough." Her hand is around my neck before I can think to dodge her. I kick out, and she tightens her grip. The muscles of her arms bulge, but her eyes are as flat and dead as ever. "Do you know what I do to spies? I Not... Don't. I can't breathe. I can't think. I teach them a lesson. Them, and anyone in league with them. Kitchen girl, for instance. No, not Izzy. Not Izzy. Just as spots begin exploding at the edge of my vision, a knock comes at the door. She releases me, letting me fall to the floor in a heap. Casually, as if she hadn't just nearly murdered a slave, she opens the door. Commandant. An auger waits outside. A woman this time, small and ethereal. I expect to see legionnaires behind her like before, but she is alone. I'm here for the girl. You can't have her, the commandant says. She is a criminal, and I'm here for the girl. The auger's face hardens, and she and the commandant have locked eyes, a silent and fierce battle of wills. Give her to me and come. We are needed in the amphitheater. She's a spy, and she will be appropriately punished. The auger turns to me, and I can't look away from her. For an instant, I see myself in the dark pool of her eyes, my heart stopped, my face lifeless. As if the knowledge has been planted in my head, I realize that the auger is taking me to the Reaper, that my death is close, closer than during the raid, closer than when Marcus beat me. Don't give me to her, I find myself begging the commandant. Please don't. The auger doesn't let me finish. Do not set your will against the auger's. Caris Veturia, you will fail. You can come willingly to the amphitheater, or I can compel you. Which shall it be? The commandant hesitates, and the auger waits like a rock in a river, patient, unmovable. Finally, the commandant nods and sweeps out the door. For the second time in a day, I'm gagged and bound. Then the auger follows in the commandant's wake, dragging me after.
Chapter 44. Elias. I'll go quietly, I say as the soldiers restrain and blindfold Helene and me. But get your damned hands off me. In response, one of them shoves a gag in my mouth and takes my Sims. The legionnaires haul us up the cliffs and through the school. Footsteps shuffle and thump around me. Centurions shout orders, and I hear, Amphitheatre! And Fourth Trial! My whole body tenses. I don't want to go back to the place where I killed my friends. I never want to set foot there again. Cain is a pocket of silence ahead of me. Is he reading me right now? Is he reading Helene? Doesn't matter. I try to forget him, to think as I would if he wasn't here. Loyalty to break the soul. The words are too close to what Lya said.
You have a soul. Don't let them take it from you.
That, I sense, is exactly what the augurs will try to do. So I draw that line Lya spoke of, a deep runnel in the earth of my mind. I won't cross it, no matter the cost. I won't. I feel Helene beside me, fear radiating off her, chilling the air around us and setting my nerves on edge.
Elias!
The legionnaires didn't gag her, probably because she had the sense not to be mouthy.
Listen to me. Whatever the augurs ask you to do, you must do it. Understand? Whoever wins this trial is emperor. The augurs said there would be no tie. Be strong, Elias. If you don't win this, everything is lost.
There is an urgency to her that unsettles me, a warning in her words beyond the obvious. I wait for her to say something else, but either she's been gagged or Kane has silenced her. Moments later, hundreds of voices reverberate around me, filling me crown to toe. We've reached the amphitheatre. The legionnaires pull me up a set of steps before forcing me to my knees. Helene comes down beside me, and the bindings, blindfolds, and gag come off.
I see they muzzled you, bastard. Pity they didn't make it permanent.
Marcus, kneeling on the other side of Helene, glares at me, hatred spilling from every pore. His body is bunched, a snake ready to strike. He wears no weapon save a dagger at his belt. All his gravitas from the third trial has morphed into a poisonous vitriol. Zack always seemed like the weaker twin, but at least he tried to check the snake. Without his quiet-voiced brother at his back, Marcus seems almost feral. I ignore him and attempt to steel myself for whatever is coming next. The legionnaires have left us on a raised dais behind Kane, who stares fixedly at the amphitheatre's entrance, as if awaiting something. A dozen other augurs are arrayed around the dais, tattered shadows who darken the stadium with their very presence. I count them again, 13, including Kane, which means one is missing. The rest of the amphitheatre is packed. I spot the governor, the rest of the city councillors. Grandfather sits a few rows behind the commandant's pavilion with a group of his personal guard, his eyes on me.
The commandant's late.
Hel nods to my mother's empty seat.
Wrong, Aquila, Marcus says. She's right on time.
As he speaks, my mother walks through the gates of the amphitheatre. The 14th augur follows her, managing, despite her seeming frailty, to pull a bound and gagged girl behind her. I see a mane of heavy black hair come loose, and my heart seizes.
It's Lyra. What's she doing here? Why is she tied up?
The commandant takes her seat while the augur deposits Lyra on the dais beside Kane. The slave girl tries to speak through her gag, but it's knotted too tightly.
Aspirants!
As soon as Kane speaks, the stadium falls silent. A flock of seabirds wheels overhead, screeching. Down in the city, a merchant peddles his wares, the sing-song strains of his voice reaching even here.
The final trial is the trial of loyalty. The Empire has decreed that this slave girl is to die.
Kane gestures to Lyra, and my stomach drops as if I've jumped from a great height.
No, she's innocent. She's done nothing wrong.
Lyra's eyes go wide. She tries to back away on her knees. The same augur who delivered her to the dais kneels behind her and holds her still with an iron grip, like a butcher holding a lamb for slaughter.
When I tell you to proceed,
Kane goes on calmly, as if he's not talking about the death of a 17-year-old girl,
you will all simultaneously attempt to execute her. Whoever carries out the order will be declared victor of the trial.
This is wrong, Kane,
I burst out.
The Empire has no reason to kill her.
Reason does not matter, Aspirant Veturius. Only loyalty. If you defy the order, you fail the trial. The punishment for failure is death.
I think of the nightmare battlefield, and my blood goes leaden at the memory. Leander, Demetrius, Ennis, they had all been on that field. I'd killed them all. Lyra had been there too, throat cut, eyes dim, hair a sodden cloud around her head.
But I haven't done it yet,
I think desperately.
I haven't killed her.
The augur looks at each of us in turn before taking a sim from the legionnaires, one of mine, and laying it on the dais, equidistant from Marcus, Helene, and me.
Proceed.
My body knows what to do before my mind, and I dive in front of Lyra. If I can place myself between her and the others, she might have a chance. Because I don't care what I saw on that nightmare battlefield. I won't kill her, and I won't let anyone else kill her either. I get to her before Helene or Marcus and spin into a crouch, expecting an attack from one or both of them. But instead of coming for Lyra, Helene leaps for Marcus, knocking her fist against his temple. He drops like a stone, clearly not expecting her attack, and she shoves him off the dais, then kicks my sim toward me.
"Do it, Elias," she says, "before Marcus comes too."
Then she sees that I'm guarding the girl instead of killing her, and she makes a strange, choked sound. The crowd is silent, holding its breath.
"Don't do this, Elias," she says. "Not now. We're almost there. You'll be emperor, foretold. Please, Elias, think of what you could do for the empire."
"I told you there's a line I'm not crossing." I feel strangely calm as I say it. Calmer than I felt in weeks. Lyra's eyes shift from Helene to me rapidly. "This is that line. I won't kill her." Helene picks up the sim.
"Then step aside," she says. "I'll do it. I'll make it quick."
She moves toward me slowly, her eyes never leaving my face.
"Elias," she says. "She's going to die no matter what you do. The Empire's decreed it. If you or I don't do it, Marcus will. He'll wake up eventually. We can end this before he does. If she has to die, at least something good will come of it. I'll be Empress. You'll be Bloodshrike."
She takes another step.
"I know you don't want rulership," she says softly. "Or lordship over the Black Guard. I didn't understand before, but I do now. So if you let me take care of this, I vow, by blood and by bone, that the second I'm named Empress, I'll release you from your oaths to the Empire. You can go wherever you want, do whatever you want. You'll be beholden to no one. You'll be free."
I've been watching her body, waiting for her muscles to tense in preparation for the attack. But now my eyes snap to hers.
"You'll be free."
The only thing I've ever wanted. And she's handing it to me on a silver platter with a vow I know she'd never break. For a brief, terrible moment, I consider it. I want it more than anything I've wanted in my life. I see myself sailing out of port at Narvium, leaving for the Southern Kingdoms, where no one and nothing have a claim over my body or my soul. Well, my body, anyway. Because if I allow Helene to kill Lyra, I won't have a soul.
"If you want to kill her," I say to Helene, "you'll have to kill me first."
A tear snakes down her face, and for a second, I see through her eyes. She wants this so badly, and it's no enemy keeping it from her. It's me. We are everything to each other, and I'm betraying her again. Then I hear a thud, the unmistakable sound of steel sinking into flesh. Behind me, Lyra pitches forward so suddenly that the auger falls with her, her hands still pinning the girl's limp arms. Lyra's hair is a storm around her, but I can't see her face, her eyes.
"No, Lyra!"
I'm down beside her, shaking her, trying to turn her over. But I can't get the damned auger off her, because the woman is shaking in terror, her robes tangled with Lyra's skirts. Lyra is silent, her body limp as a ragdoll's. I spot the hilt of a dagger that's fallen to the dais, the rapidly widening pool of blood spilling out of her. No one can lose that much blood and live.
Marcus!
Too late, I see him standing at the back of the stage. Too late, I realize that Helene and I should have killed him, that we shouldn't have risked him waking up.
The explosion of sound that follows Lyra's death staggers me. Thousands of voices yell at once. Grandfather bellows louder than a gored bull. Marcus jumps onto the dais, and I know he's coming for me. I want him to come. I want to crush the life out of him for what he's done. I feel Kane's hand on my arm, restraining me. Then the gates to the amphitheater burst open. Marcus jerks his head around, shocked into stillness as a foam-coated stallion gallops through the doors of the stadium. The legionnaire riding him slides to the ground, landing on his feet as the beast rears beside him. "The Emperor!" the legionnaire says. "The Emperor is dead! Jen's Tyre has fallen!"
"When?"
the commandant cuts in. There's not an ounce of shock on her face.
"How?"
"A resistance attack, sir. He was killed en route to Serra, only a day from the city. He and all who were with him. Even children."
Waiting vines circle and strangle the oak. The way is made clear just before the end.
That was the foretelling the commandant spoke of in her office weeks ago. And now it suddenly makes sense. The vines are the resistance. The oak is the emperor.
"Bear witness, men and women of the empire, students of Blackcliff, aspirants."
Kane releases my arm and his voice booms out, shaking the foundations of the amphitheater and silencing the panic setting in.
"Thus do the augur's visions bear fruit. The Emperor is dead, and a new power must rise, lest the Empire be destroyed." "Aspirant Veturius," Kane says, "you were given the chance to prove your loyalty, but instead of killing the girl, you defended her. Instead of following my order, you defied it."
"Of course I defied it!"
"This isn't happening.
This wasn't a trial of loyalty for anyone but me. I'm the only one who cared about her. This trial was a joke."
"This trial told us what we needed to know. You are not fit to be emperor. You are stripped of name and rank. You will die tomorrow at dawn by beheading before the Blackcliff Bell Tower. Those who were your peers will bear witness to your shame."
Two augurs fasten chains around my hands and wrists. I hadn't noticed the chains before. Did they conjure them from thin air? I'm too dazed to fight. The augur who restrained Lyra lifts the girl's body with difficulty and staggers off the dais.
"Aspirant Aquila," Kane says, "you were prepared to strike down the enemy, but you faltered when faced with Veturius, deferring to his wishes. Such loyalty to a peer is admirable, but not in an emperor. Out of all three aspirants, only Aspirant Farrar attempted to carry out my order without question, with unflinching loyalty to the Empire. Thus, I name him Victor of the Fourth Trial."
Helene's face is white as bone, her mind, like mine, unable to take in the travesty occurring in front of our eyes.
"Aspirant Aquila," Kane pulls Hell Sim from his robes, "do you remember your vow?"
"But you can't mean..."
"I will keep my vows, Aspirant Aquila. Will you keep yours?"
She eyes the augur as one would a traitorous lover, taking the sim when he offers it.
"I will."
"Then kneel now and swear fealty. For we, the augurs, name Marcus Antonius Farrar, Emperor. He who was foretold, High Commander of the Martial Army, Imperator Invictus, Overlord of the Realm. And you, Aspirant Aquila, are named his Bloodshrike, his second in command, and the sword that executes his will. Your allegiance cannot be broken unless by death. Swear it.
No! I roar. Helene, don't do it!
She turns to me, and the look in her eyes is a knife twisting inside me.
You chose Elias, her pale eyes say. You chose her.
Tomorrow, Cain says, after Vittorius's execution, we will crown the foretold.
He looks at the snake.
The empire is yours, Marcus.
Marcus glances over his shoulder with a smile, and I realize with a jolt that it's something I've seen him do hundreds of times. It's the look he would throw his brother when he'd insulted an enemy, or won a battle, or otherwise wished to gloat. But his smile fades, because Zack's not there. His face goes blank, and he looks down at Helene without conceit or triumph. His utter lack of feeling chills my blood.
Your fealty, Aquila, he says flatly. I'm waiting.
Cain, I say. He's not fit. You know he's not. He's mad. He'll destroy the Empire.
No one hears me. Not Cain, not Helene, not even Marcus. When Helene speaks, she is everything a mask should be. Calm, collected, impassive.
I swear fealty to Marcus Antonius Farrar, she says. Emperor, he who was foretold, High Commander of the Martial Army, Imperator Invictus, Overlord of the Realm. I will be his Bloodstrike, his second in command, the sword that executes his will, until death. I swear it.
Then she bows her head and offers the snake her sword.
Part 3. Body and Soul. Chapter 45. Liar.
If you wish to live, girl, then let them think you're dead.
Above the sudden din of the crowd, I barely hear the augur's panting whisper, mystified by the fact that a martial holy woman wants, for some reason, to help me. I'm stunned into silence. As her weight crushes me to the dais, the dagger Marcus has flung into her side is jarred loose. Blood seeps across the platform, and I shudder, chillingly reminded of how Nan died. In a pool of blood, just like this one.
Don't move, the augur says, no matter what happens.
I do what she says. Even as Elias shouts my name and tries to pull her off me, the messenger announces the Emperor's assassination. Elias is sentenced to death and chained. Throughout, I remain still. But when the augur named Cain announces the coronation, I stifle a gasp. After the coronation, the death cell prisoners will be executed, which means that unless the resistance gets him out of prison, Darin will die tomorrow. Or will he? Mazin says Darin's in Bekkar's death cells. Elias says Bekkar doesn't have death cells. I want to scream with frustration. I need clarity. The only one who can give it to me is Mazin, and the only way I'm going to find him is if I get out of here. But I can't exactly stand up and stroll out. Everyone thinks I'm dead. Even if I could leave, Elias just sacrificed his life for mine. I can't abandon him. I lay uselessly, unsure of what to do, when the augur decides for me.
You move now. You die, she warns, pulling herself off me.
When all eyes are on the tableau beside us, she lifts me up and staggers toward the amphitheater door.
Dead. Dead.
I can practically hear the woman in my head.
Pretend you're dead.
My limbs flop, and my head lulls. I keep my eyes closed, but when the auger misses a step and nearly falls, they fly open of their own accord. No one notices, but for a brief moment, as Aquila swears her fealty, I catch a glimpse of Elias's face. And though I've seen my brother taken and my grandparents killed, though I've suffered beatings and scarrings and visited the night shores of death's realm, I know I've never felt the type of desolation and hopelessness I see in Elias's eyes at that moment. The auger rights herself. Two of her fellows close around her, the way brothers flank a little sister in a rough crowd. Her blood soaks my clothes, blending into the black silk. She's lost so much that I don't understand how she can muster the strength to walk. Augurs cannot die, she says through gritted teeth, but we can bleed. We reach the amphitheatre gates, and once through, the woman sets me on my feet in an alcove. I expect her to explain why she chose to take that dagger for me. But she just limps away, her brethren supporting her. I look back through the amphitheatre gates to where Elias kneels, chained. My head tells me I can do nothing for him, that if I try to help him, I'll die. But I can't bring myself to walk away.
You are unhurt. Cain has slipped away from the still-packed amphitheatre, unnoticed by the jabbering crowd. Good. Follow me.
He catches the look I cast at Elias and shakes his head.
He is beyond your aid right now, Cain says. He has sealed his fate.
So that's it for him. I'm appalled at Cain's callousness. Elias refuses to kill me, and he dies for it. You're going to punish him for showing mercy.
The trials have rules, Cain says. Aspirant Veturius broke them.
Your rules are twisted. Besides, Elias wasn't the only one who violated your instructions. Marcus was supposed to kill me, and he didn't. You still made him emperor.
He thinks he killed you, Cain says, and he revels in the knowledge. That is what matters. Come, you must leave the school. If the commandant knows you survived, your life is forfeit.
I tell myself the auger is right, that I can't do anything for Elias. But I'm uneasy. I've done this before. I've left someone behind and lived to regret it every moment after.
If you do not come with me, your brother will die.
The auger senses my conflict and presses.
Is that what you want?
He heads toward the gates, and after a dreadful few moments of indecision, I turn away from Veturius and follow him. Elias is resourceful. He might still find a way to avoid death. But I won't, liar, I hear Darin. Not unless you help me. The legionnaires manning Blackcliff's gates seem not to see us as we pass out of the school, and I wonder if Cain has used auger sorcery on them. Why is he helping me? What does he want in exchange? If he can read my suspicions, he doesn't let on. Instead, leading me rapidly through the Illustrian Quarter and deep into the sweltering streets of Serra. His route is so convoluted that it seems for a time as if he has no destination in mind. No one looks twice at us, and no one speaks of the Emperor's death or of Marcus's coronation. The news hasn't yet leaked out. The silence between Cain and me stretches until I think it will fall and shatter on the ground. How will I get away from him and find the resistance? I dash the thought from my head, lest the auger pick it out. But then, I've already thought it, so it must be too late. I look askance at him. Is he reading all of this? Can he hear every thought?
It's not really mind-reading, Cain murmurs,
and I wrap my arms around myself and lean away, though I know doing so won't shield my thoughts any better.
Thoughts are complex, he explains. Messy. They are tangled as a jungle of vines, layered like the sediment in a canyon. We must weave through the vines, trace the sediment. We must translate and decipher.
Ten hells. What does he know about me? Everything? Nothing?
Where to begin, Lyra? I know your every sinew is turned toward finding and saving your brother. I know your parents were the most powerful leaders the Resistance ever had. I know you're falling for a Resistance fighter named Keenan, but that you don't trust him to love you back. I know you're a Resistance spy.
But if you know I'm a spy...
I know, Kane says, but it matters not.
Ancient sadness flares in his eyes, as if he's remembering someone long dead.
Other thoughts speak more clearly of who you are, what you are, in your deepest heart. In the night, your loneliness crushes you, as if the sky itself has swooped down to smother you in its cold arms.
That's not... I... But Kane ignores me, his red eyes unfocused, his voice jagged, as if he is speaking his own innermost secrets instead of mine.
You fear you will never have your mother's courage. You fear your cowardice will spell the doom of your brother. You yearn to understand why your parents chose the Resistance over their children. Your heart wants Keenan, and yet your body is alight when Elias Veturius is near. You
stop! It's unbearable, this knowledge of me from someone who isn't me.
You are full, Lyra. Full of life and dark and strength and spirit. You are in our dreams. You will burn, for you are an ember in the ashes. That is your destiny. Being a Resistance spy, that is the smallest part of you. That is nothing.
I scramble for words, but find none. It is wrong that he knows so much of me, and I know nothing of him in return.
There's nothing to me that is worth anything, Lyra, the Augur says. I am an error, a mistake. I am failure and malice, greed and hatred. I am guilty. We are, all of us, Augurs, guilty.
At my confusion, he sighs. His black eyes meet mine, and his description of himself and his kindred fades from my mind like a dream upon waking.
We are here, he says.
I look around uncertainly. A quiet street stretches in front of me with a row of identical houses on each side. The Mercator Quarter. Or perhaps the Foreign Quarter. I can't tell. The few people on the streets are too far away to recognize. What are we doing here?
If you wish to save your brother, you need to speak with the Resistance, he says. I have brought you to them.
He nods to the street before me.
Seventh house on the right, in the basement, the doors unlocked.
Why are you helping me? I ask him. What trick?
No trick, Lyra. I cannot answer your questions, except to say that for now, our interests align. I vow to you by blood and by bone that I do not deceive you in this. Go now, quickly. Time will not wait, and I fear you have little enough as it is.
Despite his calm expression, There's no mistaking the urgency in his voice. It fans my own unease. I nod my thanks, wondering at the strangeness of the last few minutes. And go. As the augur predicted, the back door to the house's basement is unlocked. I take two steps down the stairs before a sim point meets my neck. Lawyer! The sim drops, and Keenan moves into the light. His red hair sticks up at odd angles, and a bandage, wrapped haphazardly around his bicep, is stained with blood. His freckles stand out jarringly against the sick paleness of his skin. How did you find us?
You shouldn't be here. It's not safe for you. Quick!
He glances over his shoulder.
Before Mazin sees. Go!
I discovered an entrance to Blackcliff. I have to tell him. And there's something else. A spy.
No, liar,
Keenan says.
You can't. Who's there, Keenan?
Footsteps clump toward us, and a second later, Mazin sticks his head in the stairwell.
Ah, liar. You tracked us down?
The older man shoots a look at Keenan, as if he must be responsible for this development.
Bring her.
The tone of his voice raises the hair on my neck, and I reach through the slit in my skirt pocket for the dagger Elias gave me.
Lawyer, listen to me,
Keenan whispers as he ushers me down the stairs. No matter what he says, I...
Come now,
Mazin cuts Keenan off as we enter the basement.
I haven't got all day.
The basement is small, with crates of goods in one corner and a round table in the center. Two men sit at the table, unsmiling and cold-eyed. Erin and Hyder. I wonder if one of them is the Commandant's spy. Mazin kicks a rickety chair in my direction. The invitation to sit, obvious. Keenan stands just behind me, shifting from foot to foot, an animal ill at ease. I try not to look at him.
Well now, liar, Mazin says as I take a seat. Any information for us? Other than the fact that the Emperor is dead.
How did you...
Because I'm the one who killed him. Tell me, have they named a new Emperor yet?
Yes. Mazin killed the Emperor. I want him to tell me more, but I sense his impatience. They named Marcus. The coronation is tomorrow. Mazin exchanges glances with his men and stands.
Erin, send out the runners. Hyder, get the men ready. Keenan, deal with the girl.
Wait, I stand as they do. I have more. An entrance into Blackcliff. That's the reason I came. So that you can get Darin out. And there's something else you should know. I mean to tell him about the spy, but he doesn't let me.
There's no secret entrance into Blackcliff, liar. Even if there was, I wouldn't be stupid enough to try to attack a school of masks.
And how...
How? He muses. A good question. How do you get rid of a girl who blunders into your hideout at the most inopportune moment, claiming to be the long-lost daughter of the Lioness? How do you appease an essential faction in the Resistance when they stupidly insist you help her save her brother? How do you make it look like you're helping her when in fact you don't have the time or the men to do so?
My mouth goes dry.
I'll tell you how, Mazin says. You give the girl a mission she won't come back from. You send her to Blackcliff, home of her parents' killer. You give her impossible tasks, like spying on the most dangerous woman in the Empire, like learning about the trials before they even occur.
You knew that the Commandant killed...
It's nothing personal, girl. Sunna threatened to pull her men from the Resistance over you. She'd been looking for an excuse, and when you walked in, she had it. But I needed her and her men more than ever. I've spent years building up what the Empire destroyed when they killed your mother. I couldn't let you ruin all of that. I expected that the Commandant would be rid of you in days, if not hours. But you survived. When you brought me information, real information, at the Moon Festival, my men warned me that Sunna and her faction would consider the bargain met. She'd demand your brother be broken out of Central. Only problem was, you just told me the very thing that made it impossible for me to put up the men to do so. I think back. The Emperor's arrival in Sarah. When you told me of it, I knew we'd need every last resistance fighter we had if we wanted to assassinate him. A much worthier cause than rescuing your brother, don't you think? I remember then what the Commandant told me. Those scholar rats know only what I want them to know. What were they up to the last time you met them? Were they planning something significant? Realization strikes me like a blow. The Resistance doesn't even know they've played into the Commandant's hands. Keris Veturia wanted the Emperor dead. The Resistance killed the Emperor and the most important members of his house. Marcus stepped into his place, and now there will be no civil war, no struggle between Jens Tyre and Blackcliff. You fool, I want to scream. You walked right into her trap. I needed to keep Sunna's faction happy, Mazin says, and I needed to keep you away from them. So I sent you to Blackcliff with an even more impossible task. Find me a secret entrance into the most well-guarded, heavily fortified martial fort outside of Koff Prison. I told Sunna that your brother's escape depended on it, and that giving any more details could imperil the jailbreak. Then I gave her and every other fighter a mission greater than one foolish girl and her brother. A revolution. He leans forward, his eyes glowing with fervor. It's only a matter of time before word gets out that Tyus is dead. When it does, chaos, unrest. It's what we've been waiting for. Only wish your mother was here to see it. Don't you talk about my mother. In my rage, I forget to tell him of the spy. I forget to tell him that the Commandant will know of his grand plan. She lived by Izzat, and you're selling out her children, you bastard. Did you sell her out too? Mazin rounds the table, a vein pulsing in his neck. I'd have followed the lioness into a fire. I'd have followed her into hell. But you're not like your mother, liar. You're more like your father, and your father was weak. As for Izzat, you're a child. You have no idea what it means. My breathing stutters, and I reach out a shaking hand to the table to steady myself. I look back at Keenan, who refuses to meet my eyes. Traitor. Had he always known that Mazin didn't mean to help? Had he watched and laughed as the foolish little girl went off on impossible missions? Cook was right the whole time. I never should have trusted Mazin. I never should have trusted any of them. Darin knew better. He wanted to change things, but he'd figured out it couldn't be with the rebels. He'd realized they weren't worthy of his trust. My brother, I say to Mazin. He's not in Vekhar, is he? Is he alive? Mazin sighs. Where the marshals took your brother, no one can follow. Give it up, girl. You can't save him. Tears threaten to spill down my cheeks, but I fight them back. Just tell me where he is. I try to keep my voice reasonable. Is he in the city? In Central? You know. Tell me.
Keenan, get rid of her, Mazin commands. Elsewhere, he adds as an afterthought. A body won't go unnoticed in this neighborhood.
I feel as Elias must have felt only a short time ago. Betrayed, desolate, fear and panic threaten to strangle me. I knot them up and shove them away. Keenan tries to take my arm, but I dodge him, pulling out Elias's dagger. Mazin's men rush forward, but I'm closer than they are, and they aren't fast enough. In an instant, I have the blade at the resistance leader's throat. Back, I say to the fighters. They lower their weapons reluctantly. My pulse pounds in my ears,
and I have no fear in this moment, only rage for everything Mazin has put me through. You tell me where my brother is, you lying son.